And those that are listening on our website, live around the world, we are reaching tremendous amount of nations. I'm starting to lose count. We'll probably Sunday coming up, beginning of February, we'll have a count. But I know that we're really touching a lot of people and they're logging on, which is great. I want those that are still listening and to gather some friends and bring them on and get them to listen. We are a ministry that is all been touched by a divine presence that has changed our lives. We didn't ask for it. We weren't born in it. We just kind of were inspired and transferred, transformed into a knowledge of the heavens. And I'm Pastor Jim. This is Pastor Sam. And to the left of me is Pastor Tim.
Can I just say something real
quick?
I just wanted to let you know, people listening, that are logging on, we have these prayer cloths, and we're starting to get many people starting to request prayer cloths.
Awesome.
I just had two people ask me today for prayer cloths that need healing. So in here, we believe what's in the scriptures of the Bible. The Apostle Paul used to hand out prayer aprons, they called it, back in the New Testament. And if you can't actually go to see people, we believe that God sends healing angels with these prayer cloths, and people get touched by God, and they can glorify God and see him move in their life. So that's why we send these out. So if you're listening and you need a healing or you need a fresh touch from God, please send us an email, give us your address, and we'll send this out to you.
Yeah, I want to add with that to our listeners. You know, it wasn't just because we read that in the Bible.
Right.
You know, it wasn't because we read that and said, oh, let's start doing it. We actually got a divine impartation through that. We had a divine word, and by obedience, we went ahead and did cut up the cloths. And then all of a sudden, we got touched at that time, and we felt the presence of God and saw the manifestation of the presence of God. And we can share more if you'd like. Just give us a ring or an email, and we'll explain in further detail. But ever since we started being obedient to that, we began to see incredible miracles.
Signs, people, and wonders, yeah, and all kinds of things.
And we asked God, what was it? And, you know, God knows what you're going through. He knows your problems. He knows your issues. Even if you think you want some type of healing and you ask for it, maybe what you're asking for isn't exactly what God wants to heal you for. So we go ahead and pray and say, God, you know what? You know what they need. Bring them their healing. And, you know, we pray on these things. And God sends an angel or divine intervention, we'll call it, with these cloths. And these cloths are connected with that particular need,
yeah,
we'll call it.
Yep.
You know, because I've seen people ask for a certain healing or what have you. And next thing you know, something else happened in their lives.
And they get a healing or something differently than what they expected.
Yeah. And then we tell people, well, listen, if you feel inspired and somebody else has asked you for a healing, don't take it and throw it away. Pass it on. Just pass these things on and watch him work in your life too, as a testimony, and show that the God that we serve is alive and living, and he does care and listen too to our need. And you know, with that, you know, I would like to move on for this prophetic word or insight that we have. I want to share. We started sharing it about last week, and we shared it on Sunday, but we'll get into it a little bit tonight. But speaking of one of the healings, we have a person in this ministry that has came to us, and her daughter was diagnosed with lupus. And she went ahead and got the test done, and the doctor, you know, said, yes, you have lupus and yada yada yada. And she came to us, and she received these prayer cloths prior to us praying on her. But she went back to Colorado, got her test retested. The test came back just recently. Now, we were already glorifying God, knowing that she was going to be healed anyhow.
Yeah.
But she got an official report saying that all lupus has left. There's no sign of lupus at all. Isn't that a miracle? That's an awesome thing right there in itself. So I'm really grateful. So test God if you think it's, you know, what do you got to lose anyhow, right?
Yep. Amen.
Okay. So moving forward, You know, God calls prophetic people throughout the time of history. There's always been those individuals that heard God speak. Because God's alive and living, and he's alive and living, and he's doing something through generations, and we are entering into a new generation, a new age, and some people don't like to hear that word, new age, because they think, ooh.
Well, they think mysticism, they get spooky. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about an age that's like an error.
Right.
You know, it's not a mysticism or anything like that, like the witchcraft and all that, so.
Right. And, you know, look, God is a spirit, and you have to seek him in spirit. And sometimes you have to put yourself in that state of spirituality and go into meditation or prayer or contemplation or however you want to word it. But, you know, I've been seeking God now to hear what he's doing in this time and age. And it's sort of like what the prophets from the old would know what God was doing within that time frame. And there are some examples of Moses when he was asked to leave Pharaoh and to set his people free from the chains of bondage, we call it. And then also Noah, how he was called to build an ark because there was going to be a flood that was about to be poured out by God. And back then, no one knew what rain was or anything, or even knew what an ark was. But by faith, the person, Noah, who was a seeker of God, spirituality-wise, heard his voice, was obedient, and started to build an ark that was based on a vision that was given to him. And he began to do it. Well, this was took years of building. I don't know exactly how many years.
Hundreds.
But it took a lot of years to build an ark. But he stayed faithful for what it was about to take place. And, you know, we've heard a lot of prophets of old about the end times and things of that nature. And I don't want to knock any of them because I believe they all had an intuition of what God was trying to say within the hour, but really didn't have the depths of an understanding or really maybe that relationship to quite grab hold of what he was saying. It's almost like, you know, you take a group of people and you whisper something in the first one's ear.
Yep.
And then they whisper down the line, and by the time it gets to the end of the line, it's a whole different story, right?
Message, yeah.
Well, I look at each person's walk with God is like how far down that line, right? I don't know how far down our line is, but I know we're pretty close to him. And, you know, he began to start speaking about these four plagues that are going to be released right now. And you might receive it or you might not. Hey, listen, everybody's got to work out their own salvation. It's almost like I got a nice glass of water here, and if you want to drink it, great. If you don't want to drink it, that's fine with me. But if you do drink it, you're going to end up protecting yourself or saving yourself or blessing yourself because of being obedient to the message. Just like Noah was obedient to the message, he didn't understand it. He didn't really quite understand what was actually going to happen, but he was obedient and did it. And then when it did happen, he was protected.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm kind of laying out for all of our listeners. It's like, listen, you don't have to really believe it. You don't have to really understand it. But if you just, you know, apply it to your life, maybe later when you see it all happen, and, you know, it all takes place, then you can come and thank us later, you know, after you're blessed and protected. But with that being said, it was spoken to my heart about these plagues that are going to be poured out. And if you take notice, you could probably see one plague already being poured out. And we call it the plague of hatred. And hatred is being poured out right now. A lot of hatred is happening. I don't want to see anybody get caught up in it. Everyone has their viewpoints and everybody has their opinions. And look, we can't control anything. And even those that try to yell the loudest think that they can control certain circumstances and stuff like that. And it's like no different than bringing this message across. You know, it's like you can either receive it or not. Oh, well. But with that being said, there's a tremendous amount of hatred that is being poured out. How many here alone has been able to see the outpouring of hatred just by a show of hands? And it's not even like you've done anything or you've been able to say anything, or even if it's towards you or not, you actually see it happening. You go to the store, you hear it. You go to, you know, the doctor's office or whatever, you hear it. You see it at work. You know, you see it on media. You see it on, you know, different app programs. And this is one of the plagues that God began to show me that was being poured out, hatred. And we don't want to get caught up in it. So don't get caught up in hatred, prejudgment. So that's one warning. The other one is there was going to be rumors of wars and rumors of wars. And we're going to hear a lot about, you know, wars and threats of wars. And don't get scared, okay? I don't want our listeners to get nervous or scared about it, because if you do follow the end of what we're about to say, then you'll be protected. Because one of the things that the Lord began to show me was when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Set my people free," one of the things was that they would send, he would send the death angel to go kill the firstborn. Well, in order to be protected on this plague that was being poured out, they would put blood of the lamb on the blood on the doorpost of their homes. Now, I'm not telling you to put blood around your doorposts, okay? But the blood around the doorposts represented a form of worship. It was a form of honor. It was a form of deity. It was showing honor and respect to our Creator, our God. And I'll explain this at the end. So when wars and rumors of wars, you begin to start hearing it, and I think we've already started to see even threats of nuclear bombs and stuff. Has anyone seen that stuff already on television, threats of nuclear bombs and things? What's that one? We got something being brought to my attention.
You said wars and rumors of wars, but in the scriptures it says in Matthew 24, verse 5, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So you're talking about right there, you're talking about kingdom rising against kingdom with the nuclear wars affecting everything, and this is just telling you what you're just seeing.
Well, it's interesting, because I got two more plagues and it seems like they might be in there. What scripture verses is that coming out of?
Matthew chapter 24, verse 5.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Okay, so this is actually written in the book, the Bible. And so it's a verse, but I'm not interpreting this particular scripture, but it does say that these verses are in there. This stuff is happening within this time frame, this age right now. Not saying that it's the end of the world or anything like that. We're not like end time prophets or anything. we're just declaring what God is doing within this hour. And he began to start to speak to me about how there is going to be not only wars and rumors of wars, but the next plague that's going to be poured out would be actually plagues, pestilence, diseases, things of that nature. And not only diseases, but the other plague would be starvation. there'd be a tremendous amount of starvation, famine that would be poured out. So you're looking at four types of plagues that are looked upon within this age, and it's going to affect the world, the whole world in itself. And this is nothing to do with other than what's happening in the spiritual realm. And I want everyone to understand that God is alive and he's living and he's a spirit. And he's calling all of us into salvation. And what is salvation in this age with this prophetic word? What exactly is salvation? Many years ago, maybe salvation was coming to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or coming to an altar or something and confessing your sins or whatever it might have been. But that's not happening today. Salvation really seems to be gotten simplified. It's a matter of just recognizing our Creator, our God, and not creating your own God, but the God of truth. And that's really what it comes in and discerns the difference. Because I have heard some other people say, well, you know, I believe in God, and, you know, I honor God and stuff like that. And then you have to look at them and ask them if they're operating in truth. And then you can draw a fine line. What is truth? You know, everybody has discrepancy on what is truth. Well, you know, no one ever wants to argue truth, because my truth might be different from your truth. Has anyone ever run into that before? My truth different than your truth? But there is one truth that you can't separate, and that's love. Love doesn't bring division. Love doesn't divide. Love is kind. Love is gentle. You know, and that's one thing that you can't argue about. So you look for that type of truth, and then you can understand that you are working with the same God that we're reaching out and looking for and worshiping also. He's our Creator, and he is the supreme being, and I hope and pray that our listeners really understand what it's like to have the fear of the Lord and know that, you know, he can either make you or break you. He can either protect you or he can defeat you. He can either bless you or he can curse you. I mean, if anybody thinks that God isn't in control, well, they're not operating in truth right there. So only God will enlighten you to know that he's ultimately in control. Darkness cannot affect you unless God gives the commands to allow darkness to affect you. Bottom line. And so, you know, when I said about the blood on the doorpost protected this plague from entering in to kill the firstborn in that household, that plague saw the blood and it wasn't able to enter in. Well, the blood within your own heart, okay, is pure worship of honor and truth and that reverence, fear of God. And when you can lay that blood on your heart, of that reverence, fear of God, and it's really came down to that simple, you know, because of how much darkness has been poured out and the evil fight that is out there in the spiritual world. God understands the importance of simplicity for salvation, because he loves us so much. His mercy and his love for us is so great and so embracing. He doesn't want to make it complicated. It's like, listen, just worship me in spirit and in truth. You know, in the last days, the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. And that in itself right there is the protector of your entire being, your life, your family, your loved ones, embraced, anyone within your household, so to say. When I say within your household, you know, those that are dear to you, like, you know, I have a brother right here who's in the service tonight who I love dearly. And I'll tell you what, his life is probably protected because he's in my heart, you know? And because he's in my heart, I got the blood on my doorpost around me. So he's protected, and he don't even deserve it, but he's protected. But that's how much God loves us so much, you see? And if you look back in biblical times, you know, there was blood posts on some of the Pharaoh's homes, because remember Jacob or somebody ran over and wiped some blood, or Aaron wiped some blood around some doorposts over because he liked the Pharaoh girl or something. You know, he liked one of the girls, and so he protected the household by sneaking around and wiping a little blood on that doorpost because one of them said, "Hey, who put this blood on my doorpost?" when they woke up and saw it on there, and they were protected. They didn't have that plague enter their house. And so, you know, those that are listening, take us serious, because this is really happening within this hour. And I believe when you see these things happening around you, and yet you're not being affected or being touched by it, you're going to remember this word, and you're going to say, "Oh my God, I remember the message. I did it. I put that, you know, this worship of this true living God, you know, the God of truth. I saw the plague of hatred. I didn't put myself in that circumstance. I didn't get involved in arguments and divisions. I looked for love. You know, I didn't get into that division. You know, I can't control anything, so I'm not going to get in the riff of things. You know, I just kind of took a back seat and worked out my own salvation. And, oh, my God, look at this. I got a job, and everybody else is losing their jobs. I got health. And everybody else is like running into plagues, and they're coming up with diseases.
It's like you said, though, you work at your own salvation. And, you know, we are so worried about everybody else and trying to control everybody else, we forget to control ourselves. And, you know, God himself put a life inside of every one of us. He gave us a life, and he gave us any inspiration, desire to do something with our lives greater than we are right now. And, you know, when you follow that, you know, you're actually following God. And Pastor said earlier, you know, your law isn't my law, your truth isn't my truth, because everybody has a different law, a different life written on their hearts. And God has given us a life with his own finger, with his own pen written on our hearts. And that's what he wants. And when we have the blood around our post, we're basically working out our own salvation, not trying to control anybody else, but trying to keep ourselves under control and keep ourselves in peace and joy and following that truth inside of us, realizing that that's God. I mean, you know, it's hard to follow a God that doesn't speak to you, you know, but God speaks to you through your heart, through your inspirations, through your perception, through a desire that he put inside of you to do something. You know, whatever it is, it wasn't there in the beginning, but now, you know, you find it, and all of a sudden it's like you found God. And, you know, when you follow that and you work out your own salvation, the blood's on your door, and then, you know, the death angel is going to pass you by.
Yeah. If we can get our listeners to keep logging on and going back and listen to the message, it'll speak about the importance of protecting the pearl of peace that's inside of you. You know, everybody wants to know, what does God have for me? What's the plan that God has for my life? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can put that to bed for now. Because the world we live in is going to change. And, you know, you might have an ambition in a future to try to, like, raise a family and all that. But, you know, we're reaching some times where things are looking pretty interesting. At least this is what I see in the heavenlies. And I'm not here to scare anybody or to freak anybody out. But at the same time, don't get caught up in tomorrow, in your life about tomorrow. And start enjoying today, and just accept for today and be grateful for today. And not be so concerned about your life for tomorrow, because, you know, tomorrow will work itself out. And whatever his plan is for your life at this time, you know, is going to manifest if it's the age of, if it's meant to be. For example, can you imagine Noah and his family didn't understand what was happening, right? And his family's probably saying, "You know, Dad, building this ark, it's kind of crazy. Everybody out there is looking at you like you're nuts.
Are you sure? Are you sure about this?
You sure?" And Noah's like, "Listen, don't worry about it. Let's just keep building the ark, okay? But I want to be, I want to be this great person, you know, and I want to be a philosopher, and I want to be a dentist or whatever." And he's like, "Yeah, well, you know what? Just hold on right now, because there's a flood coming, and it's going to take up your time. You're not going to have time to study for being a dentist right now. You're not going to have time to do these things, because this flood's going to come, and we're going to be like floating around on an ark for a while."
You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about the Book of Revelations. They feel it's spooky. It talks about things that they can't understand spiritually. It's scary to them, but this is the God's honest truth. In Revelation 6 and 7, it talks about the apocalypse of the four horsemen. And they're like four angels that are being poured out in the earth that are carrying these plagues. And they call them seals. One of them's death, one of them's pestilence, one of them's famine, one of them is conquering. Okay. Well, it says in chapter 7 where God is going to send a servant of an angel out, and he's declaring to the earth, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Okay? This is why we're declaring this word tonight. Do you want to be sealed and protected from these plagues? Because God's not going to harm you if you hear and heed these words. He will protect you, he will cover you and your family members, and then he'll pour the plague out. But he's going to withhold the plagues and protect you until everybody's sealed, and then all chaos is going to break out. Now, here's the other thing.
So before you go on to that, let me add some things, because I remember, maybe about 6 months ago, I was talking about the importance of becoming anointed and what it was to be anointed, because heaven is going to start invading earth, and angelic angels are going to come and empower us, and they're going to connect to the anointing, and it's going to embrace the anointing and recognize who has the anointing and who don't have the anointing, and come alongside of us and kind of protect us. I can see how, looking back, God has been building up for this time, this message right now. Because if you look back, it was preparing us to be children of God. What is it to be a child of God? Looking at the kingdom of God and protecting the pearl of peace, polishing that pearl of peace, entering into a place of righteousness, peace, and joy, and not the righteousness of man, but the righteousness of God, which is obeying the commandments that are written on our heart, and just kind of entering into that realm and adapting the anointing so that we would be protected by the supernatural that is about to be poured out on the earth. You know, the world has to understand that spirituality is not a religion of good and bad, right and wrong, so that you can look good in the world's eyes as a righteous person, as a Pharisee or works. A Sadducee or works. Spirituality is really a life and an understanding and a knowledge of life that is alive and living in the universe. It's a life beyond this world. It's a life that we live beyond the world. How many people understand that one? And, you know, eternity is real. Eternity is real. And, you know, to be spiritually minded is life, but to be carnally minded, it's death, because carnally minded is just like focusing on the world itself and the things of the world and the obstacles of this world. But to be able to, you know, set your heart to know the Spirit and what God is doing in the Spirit, because the Spirit is first. I think I said this once in a message on a Sunday, that life is really in Spirit, and that has to manifest first before it can actually transform into the natural. So almost like an imagination or a dream or a vision has to be seen and created first before you can actually live it out. You know, it's just like a hope. You know, you have to have something in the Spirit and embrace it and see it in the Spirit before it manifests on earth. Right? Yes. I mean, people understand that. You know, it's like a desire. I have a desire to have a child, you know? And then you begin to look at your child and see your child and think of you holding that child and imagining how that child's going to grow up and how you're going to take care of it. And then the next minute you know, you're bringing that child on earth. Yep. And now you're manifesting what you desired. You know, that's why I always say, lift your visions higher, lift your hopes and dreams. But go ahead.
You know, in this Revelations, it goes on in 7 about how God's going to save 144,000 Israelites. Now, don't take the Israelites as a natural Jewish person that's in the natural that we see. God's talking about an Israelite is a person of faith and trust of the living God. And it develops a covenant between God and yourself.
Yeah, it's like a child of God.
It's a child of God. It's a covenant where you have a rapport and a relationship on a daily basis with God through faith and trust.
That's a good point that you said that, because that's being spiritually minded.
It's being spiritually minded. Yep.
Carnally minded is the divisions,
yep,
where it's a book for the Israelites and the Jewish people, and you know it's not a spiritual book. It's a carnal book. You know, where the Palestines are over here and the Muslims are over here.
Pastor Tim, it's funny you say that, because he talks about 12 tribes, right,
mm-hmm,
of Israel. I believe the 12 tribes are the different degrees of your faith. I don't think it has anything to do with, okay, this person's from Judah and this is from Benjamin and all that. I truly believe it's degrees of faith and relationship you have with God.
And it could be divisions of the spiritual crusaders in the heavenlies too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we keep open-minded and allow God to reveal these things to us as... But I do agree, you know, it is a faith, and it is segments of divisions.
Divisions, yeah.
Yep. Where,
and I believe it's just you have to believe this word. You have what we're saying tonight, what we've been saying on Sunday, and the messages before that. You have to believe what we're saying. Just trust what we're saying, because it's not us. We're not coming up with some fairy tale or some type
of... First of all, what benefit do we have?
We don't know you. You're on the internet. We don't know you.
What benefit do we have?
Yeah, but I guarantee you, the people who are out there listening, this is already in them.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
We're not speaking anything in you that's not already in you. And if it doesn't ring true, it doesn't ring true. But it should be ringing true in most of you out there. This isn't something that's coming out of the blue. This should be in you already.
Well, that's what God said. His son spoke in parables.
Correct.
Yep. And only those that had an ear could hear him.
Spiritually to hear it, to hear it.
And many got offended and left.
And many of us have this in our hearts already. It just takes a spoken word to mingle with that word to let it become birthed inside of you. And then you have it, and then you receive that fear of the Lord and that wisdom. And you start realizing what to do. And God will give you instructions. But... you know, this is already in you, and it should be. And really just press in and be open-minded with what we're saying, because it's in there. You just got to tap in, and you'll see. The more you listen to us, the more you listen to the words we speak, the more you're going to see it's already in you.
Yep.
And it's going to identify with
see,
it.
See, this is another thing that I want to tell our listeners, since you're on that path here. What do we have to benefit from it?
Nothing.
Okay, nothing carnal.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Okay? But we do have a lot to benefit spiritually speaking. Okay?
Correct.
Here's an example. Jonah, back in that spiritual book there, Jonah was called by God as a prophet to speak to Nineveh. Nineveh was a land. And God told Jonah, go and speak to Nineveh and tell them to change the way they're thinking. I got a message and I want you to tell them. And if they change the way they're thinking and they listen to you, then I will save their land.
Well, Nineveh was the most wicked place in existence up until that time. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah times 10, so you know what Nineveh was all about.
Okay. So anyhow, well, I'm not going to say the whole world's wicked, but it's close to it. But, you know.
Nineveh was wicked.
You know, there's a lot of good people out there, too, that may perish and suffer, too. Because if you take Nineveh, not all were wicked, but there was a lot of wicked in there. But there's innocent ones, too, that were going to get destroyed also. But the point is that God called Nineveh to go and speak, or God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to speak a message so that the hearers would repent and change the way they're thinking, and he would save their land. Okay, well, that's the same thing as what we're doing. We're called to speak to the nations, and it doesn't matter if you hear it or not. You know, God will move upon your ears to hear.
Correct.
And if you change the way you're thinking and you listen, then your land will be saved.
Our benefit is to be obedient
to
what God's put on our heart.
That's it.
Right.
We're obedient to him.
Right.
Whether you hear us or not, it doesn't matter to us.
Right.
Because we have to be obedient to what we're being inspired to speak and say so we can declare what God wants to do.
You know, Nineveh heard the word and they repented.
Yep.
They repented.
And that's the miracle. The king called a fast in the land, and he said, we're going to repent. And they all repented, and God spared them.
Yep.
So that's the miracle. When you follow God's word, he delivers.
He delivers.
Now, here's something else to go along with this. In this book here, the Holy Bible, it speaks about many false prophets that are going to rise up in the last days, and they're going to perform signs and wonders and miracles and stuff like that. He says, don't be deceived by it. Because the miracle that is going to come, you know, the only sign that is going to come in the last days is the sign of Jonah.
Correct.
And what's that? Bringing repent. A message so that the people would change the way they're thinking and heed the word and apply the word, and then God saves their land. They bless their land. And, you know, these things are so true. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we don't come in here happy all the time. There's a lot of times where we just don't want to be here. There's a lot of times where, you know, it's like, yeah, nobody's listening. I don't really care. I don't want to speak this message to them. Who's going to hear anyhow? They're probably giving us the old, you know. And, you know, Jonah was the same way. I don't want to go. I don't want to have to speak to them. They're not listening. They're not going to hear it. Let them burn. Who cares? I got salvation. Let them burn. What do I care about these people? And God threw him off the ship, and he went into a belly of a whale or a big fish. And then he had actually gotten to that place where it was very discomforting for him. And then God saw that he repented and said, okay, I'll go to Nineveh. And I'll give them the message. Well, guess what? All of us been in the belly of the whale or the belly of the big fish, and we understand what it's like to be discomforted by the hand of God. So that's what made us say, okay, we'll get in there and we'll speak the word that you have for us to speak, because we're tired of sitting in the belly of this big fish. After he spoke the message, he still left. And he was murmuring and complaining and grumbling, and then God ended up putting a little shade tree over on him and telling him, you know, thank you for going and telling them and all
knock
that.
Knock it off.
Yeah, and knock it off.
He said knock it off. You know, what the pastor's saying is that there's a conviction in our hearts to do this. And if we don't follow that conviction.
And a reverence fear.
Reverence fear. And if we don't follow that conviction.
Tired of having the hand of God on us.
That conviction becomes a condemnation to us. And we have to follow what's inside of us, or we can't live with ourselves, right? Basically.
Yeah. I mean, look, we have tried many things to get our listeners to see us. I mean, look at me. I mean, I let my hair grow long.
This is all for you. Trust me.
For you to see. I let my beard grow. He shaves his head.
He's going to shave his head next.
He could be sitting here in a suit and a tie.
Yeah, looking righteous.
You know? But he's
lose half the crowd.
He's like, that doesn't matter to him.
Now, next I'll be shaving my head soon. I'm going to shave my head. What do you think?
You heard
think
it.
I should shave it? Yeah. I'm going to shave it off. I'm going to shave every bit of it. And then who knows what? Maybe I'll dye it blonde again or something. I don't know. To get the people to know that it's not the outward appearance, but it's the inward appearance. We have a strong conviction for the love of God. We got a strong conviction. And we serve the true living God, the God of love, the God who has mercy and compassion. You know, there's no judgment in our heart. Do we have viewpoints?
Yes.
Carnal viewpoints? Yes. Yeah. We see things different than other people do, and maybe we see the same thing as other people do. But there's no wars and arguments and hatred here. No. There's love. It's okay for you to have a viewpoint in something. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay. It's okay to have long hair, and it's okay to have short hair. It's okay to carry a beard, and it's okay to ride a bike. You know, and it's cool to have a cycle and have hot rods, and I can't wait to get my hot rod.
We don't care what you do. It's not the whole issue. The whole issue is we just want you to see God for who he truly is.
Yep.
To receive the word and the instruction of God so that you can have salvation.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
It says he uses the simple to confound the wise, and we are simple.
We're very simple.
They're not getting much simpler than us, let me tell you right now.
No, well, let's even take it another layer, because, of course, people would look at us as religious people. Well, what kind of denomination are you? Are you Christian? Or are you Catholic? Or are you Protestant? Or are you Jehovah?
No.
Or
are you Muslim? God,
none of them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We don't have a label on us, even though we do follow this book, the Holy Bible, which I guess would call it under a Christian book. it would be called.
Well, it's Christian and Judaism because you figure.
Judaism.
You figure because of the Old Testament and the New Testament mix.
And Catholic, right? It's got Catholic in it, Protestant.
It has
Methodist.
It has everybody
that's
derives
Christian
from that.
Okay.
You know?
It's not Buddhist or Muslim, though.
No.
Okay. But the reason is because this is, I would say, when my life was changed, I had an encounter that was dramatic. This is what really bared witness. Everything in here really bared witness of what
right,
was given
right
to me. And so we kind of stand strong on this.
Let me tell you, he wasn't never a religious man. If you would have known him 18 to 20 years ago, you know.
I was persecuting him.
Yeah. You know, there was no religious bone in him, and he still doesn't have religion. Even though he has God, he doesn't have religion. Because religion's man-made. It's a bunch of stories and fables, and it's rituals and traditions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is a true love of God, and we honor him.
Amen.
We just want to honor him so that we're well-pleasing in his sight. That's it. That's all we stand for.
And with that, God has touched the two pastors that are sitting side by side here, and it was really interesting how we met, because those two actually owned a business together, and I saw them, and I said, you know what, we're going to be together, and I don't know how much longer after that.
Six months later, we end up seeing him at a ministry that Sam and I were both a part of, and here comes Jim walking out there. Hey, fellas, I told you we'd be together. You know, it was just mind-boggling because we didn't know each other.
and signs and wonders and miracles followed, and that's where those your eyes really opened up and started seeing the truth. But the truth really was already in them. I just bared witness with the truth that was already in them.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful for what is happening because now there are many listeners that are just like the two of you guys that are now the truth is being pulled out of them. I knew that was right. I knew it. We have some here today. There's a brother here who I love very dear. I won't mention his name right yet, but I love very dear that everything that we say is in him. And I hear him talk, and it's like everything we believe is coming out of his mouth. And he just needed a witness to say, you know how you're feeling? You're feeling 100% right. You know, because we go around doubting that inner man that's inside of us, and we're wondering if it's right because we hear everything else here, we hear everything else contradict there, and, you know, and it's like, do I have it or not? You know, you got it, brother.
And you feel isolated and you feel like you're all alone until someone goes along and speaks what's in your heart. And then you become a brother. You become closer because they're one with you. And it's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yep. And then, you know, we have others too, like Rachel and Jim, who are dear sister and brothers of mine in my heart that, you know, have the witness of God in them. And there are others, Mary Lou, I'll mention her, and even my sweetheart over there who is hiding back there, which I won't mention. But, you know, God is doing some great things, and we only care about who he cares about.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about the ones who aren't sent. And if you look at it, towards those last days or last age, and I'm going to tell you, there's going to be other ages after this one.
Yeah.
But after that end of that age, God gave them over to debased minds. And that debased mind is where they got so adamant, so angry, so full of hatred. They disregarded the gospel. They disregarded the truth. You know, they disregarded the message of God and love. And they have just took and mix their doctrine of love and their faith of God, and they mixed it with hatred
and the twinkling of their intentions and their motives,
yeah,
and stuff like that, so it benefited them.
And then what happened is they get blindsided because they're walking around with their own righteousness. They got their own cloak of righteousness on them. And they get blindsided because all of a sudden God releases them over to their debased mind. And all of a sudden they only see, they don't see the glory of God anymore. They see the glory of themselves.
Yes.
And they see their righteousness. And they just fall further and further into, I call sickness and death. They fall further and further into that. And it's a shame too. I feel really bad for those that that fall into those traps. Because if you noticed in Scripture, there was a group that went to judgment, and they cried out, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name." And he says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." It's like, whoa. You know, I hope our hearers out there are listening, and they get a little reverence in their heart and a little fear in their heart, and they begin to start looking at their salvation and whether if they're carrying the righteousness of God or are they carrying the righteousness of man. Yeah. And so with that being said, I got 0 minutes left, and I got to honor this here.
Well, I just want to make one comment about what you said, Pastor.
Okay, we got to hurry up, though.
He brought up about the fact that, you know, the ages will continue to go on and on. Now, mind you this, before this age, there was previous ages, and they also had plagues.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot. There's been plagues in each age because it goes on and on and on, and God's trying to bring people back to him and trying to get them to have a relationship with him. So sometimes he has to bring these plagues on the earth to get people to wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, are you going to be trusting me and having faith in me, or are you going to perish? That's where it comes down to. And that's why he releases these things on the earth.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, you know, you have a good point there, you know, because some people think that things just continue to go on and on and on, and then God's mercy and grace is like a pushover.
Yeah.
You know, oh, God's grace and mercy and love, you know.
No.
And when we pass, we'll all go to heaven and sing the angel song. And
no, because
where's that
because Pastor said in the message on Sunday, he said there's going to be a time when God stops allowing people to come into this. And he said there's an Alpha and the Omega. God has a beginning, and then there's an end.
Yeah.
And at that end, you better make sure you're on board. You better make sure, because you don't want to be outside scratching at the door trying to get in.
Just like Noah's time. How many people were scratching and clawing at that ark when he shut the door and didn't let them in because his mercy stopped on them?
Exactly right.
He said, "I'm going to wipe them all out."
He didn't say, "Wait a minute, let me hold the reins. I'll lower the door down for a quick minute. Those that want to jump in, quick, hurry up."
But he gave them hundreds of years to change, and they didn't do it.
And I think that's what God did. I'm sure. Yeah. This isn't the first time you've heard some crackpot like myself and these two guys say, listen, there's a love of God out there that, you know, is asking you to come to him. You know, please come to him now. You know, the time is short. And if you're hearing us now, you know, this is a good time to change the way you're thinking and give your life over to our Creator, our Heavenly Father. But the thing is it's not complicated. All you got to do is start putting him, say, God, look, I don't really know you, but I want to know you, and I'm going to just, like, settle down, and I'm going to find the pearl of peace, and I'm going to polish it, you know, and I'm going to just, you know, not have this hatred or anger towards anything or anyone. I'm going to release all of it. It's almost like forgiving everyone.
I'm
going
to make it easier. Listen to the messages. Just listen to the messages over and over. You're going to get it. It's impossible for you not to get it. That's how you got to do it. Listen to the messages. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Very easy.
And if you can get out here because there's things that aren't recorded that happen, and it really is supernatural.
Blow your mind.
Yeah. And little nuggets are given, and, you know, like we spoke about the power of the word and stuff like that. But we got
to
get going. I love you guys. Take care.
See you Sunday.
Peace.
Tune in.
Peace.